Depending on the help of the Lord, friends, I would refer you to the second epistle to the Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the first clause of the 14th verse. The second epistle to the Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the first clause of the 14th verse. For the love of Christ constraineth us. You will perceive, dear friends, that in this chapter we have nothing really set forth in regard to holy baptism, but is such a gracious influence should provide, and we believe that the Lord by His Spirit has constrained our esteemed sister here to follow Him, believing that she has been constrained by the love of Christ to walk in the footsteps of her Lord and Master. I feel that that will be applicable to this service. Now, just a few observations, as one may be helped in regard to the love of Christ. It is a profound subject, my friends, that we shall never be able to get to the end of it in this life. I believe that the extensiveness of it will be entered into with the spirits of just men made perfect at the consummation of their earthly pilgrimage. They then will bask and will be swallowed up in the love of Christ. Now, we must just meditate a little concerning His holy and sacred person. First He laid His glory by and was wrapped in human clay. What condescension was there manifested by this supreme act of His? And the influence that provided in it all was His unspeakable love. We would not disconnect the love of the Father and also of the Holy Ghost, because they are in complete unison, one with the other, in one blessed sacred person. But as we are dealing at this time with the sacred person of Christ, we trust that He might have the preeminence in this service this evening. We desire that Christ might be first, and Christ be last, and Christ the all and in all. He is worthy to be spoken of. Then we have manifested in the Word of God His condescending to walk in Jordan, where He was baptized, where He did lay down for His people that way that they should follow as they are led and instructed by God the Holy Ghost. The wonderful sacred institution is holy baptism. And what a favor and what a privilege it is to be allowed and to be permitted to walk where Jesus walked. The persons that are the subjects of walking in the footsteps of their Lord and Master, they feel absolutely unworthy of such a privilege, but they are constrained by the love of Christ. I want to speak a little further in connection with this at a later date in the sermon. Next, we have an unparalleled manifestation of the love of Christ displayed in his holy and sacred passion. To have a view of the love of Christ, to be led in some little measure by God the Holy Ghost to the Garden of Gethsemane, there to behold him in his ignominious sufferings, the commencement of them, where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, where we perceive our precious Lord groveling upon the earth with the conflict that he had, that conflict constituting the sins of those who were given to him by his Father and those whom he received as his own. For I feel, my friends, that here is an abundant proof of his love, his redeeming love. And then to follow him in some humble measure, to behold him upon the accursed tree. The love of Christ, his own love, constrained him to pay the heavy debt that was due unto his people. When one is favored to have a little sense and realization of this in their own heart, a little hope that they have an interest in the atonement of Christ and his glorious righteousness, that is, to have a sense of it imputed and imparted, and even to have a touch of his mercy reaching one's soul, then one feels and experiences a little of the love of Christ. Christ then has the preeminence. And as you sung in your opening hymn, Christ is precious, made very precious. And in the first place, he is precious in the want of him. I would, as helped by the Spirit of God, encourage any poor sinner, as they are not only made sensible of their lost and ruined state and condition, but to whom Christ is revealed as the way, the truth, and the life, in desiring after him a saving knowledge of him, Jesus becomes precious to that soul in the want of him. and this will produce breathings, desires in the heart after him. I know that there are many vicissitudes in connection with a real vital exercise of soul, much conflict and much darkness that may attend it for a period, but how true is that assertion that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ did speak while here upon earth, ask and it shall be given thee, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so therefore the Spirit of God is pleased to take the word sometimes, either written word or the preached word, and makes it applicable unto their case, making Christ precious. But my friends, the time comes when he is precious in the enjoyment of him. And this is what I would desire, that the Lord may bless many here present with, is to have a saving interest in him, a vital union to him. Now this service, it sets forth the sufferings, the death, the resurrection of Christ. We cannot disconnect his vicarious sufferings and death without his resurrection and ascension. Now, in the next place, I feel that this was the influence that pervaded in the heart of the apostle, which enabled him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. There was no other motive, intent, purpose of his heart but love to Christ, the love of Christ he felt, which extended itself to precious souls. And whenever one is constrained by the love of Christ, whether it is in a ministerial way and manner, whether it is in following the Lord Jesus in his despised ordinances, it is acceptable in his sight. The Lord is pleased to own that which he is the author of. Now, a few meditations concerning the effect that is produced in one's heart when one obtains, which is a divine gift, a touch of his love. It surpasses the love of the creature. It is a love, my friends, that has no beginning and has no end. It is an unchangeable love. We cannot begin to fathom, or do we understand with our poor finite minds, where the love of Christ really began. That is to say, to state a time, a definite time when it began, but we know it began by the effects that has been produced by that love being made manifest. And not only in a doctrinal way and manner, but we trust in some humble measure by gracious experience. Can you remember, my friends, when you hoped the first touch of mercy reached your heart. How it softened you and humbled you in the dust of self-abasement. Now to have a touch of the love of Christ is more than all the honors and preferments that creatures can bestow upon us, because every person, now this is an authentic statement, every person who is the subject of the love of Christ is a heaven-born person. You cannot make me believe, my friends, that the Lord is pleased to bestow this divine and heavenly gift only upon those that belong to Him. And I refer now for the moment unto what the hymn writer expresses. If once the mark of that celestial seal be felt, it can never be erased. Now I know that this is not quite correct in the rendering of it, but the substance is the same. It is an unchangeable love. Who once he has loved, he will never leave, but love them to the end. Now, in the love of Christ felt and realized, there is a quietude that is felt and realized in the heart and upon the spirit, signifying a little of gospel peace. You cannot have the love of Christ without a touch of this, because there can be no disconnection with it. Another point is how it does sweetly humble the soul, and also there is faith that is exercised for a few moments sometimes in this particular way, and that is in connection with the love of Christ first. We love Him because He first loved us. Love is one of the divine attributes of Christ. And not only an attribute, my friends, but His very essence of His character, of His disposition, is love. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, in relation to the love of Christ, I feel that there is a passiveness, a submission that is wrought in a poor sinner's heart to that which the Spirit of God has been working and operating in the breast concerning this sacred ordinance. I realize that there is a variation, undoubtedly, of how the Lord is pleased to commence this exercise, and the leadings of the Spirit of God are varied. Indeed so. But I do feel that Scripture is brought to bear at times with weight and power upon one's heart. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now the commandments very extensive, but there is one outstanding commandment that the Spirit of God lays in a person's heart. They begin to be graciously exercised and concerned about it. And there is much waiting upon the Lord in secret prayer in relation to this exercise, that they may be led and guided and directed right in this matter. There is a perception given that it is not only a sacred spot to come to follow the Lord, but it is a very solemn and weighty step. And hence, the persons that are the subject of this exercise are found in secret before the Lord, connection with it, asking, beseeching and requesting that a token for good might be given. I believe a person that is rightly exercised concerning this divine ordinance does not desire to presume in the matter, but they desire to be led by the Lord. Now there's a beauty, there's an excellency that is perceived in this divine ordinance. Now I asked a question with some of you dear friends here present who perhaps have joined the church militant many years ago. Can you trace that you were constrained by and through the love of Christ to take up your cross, follow him? Now, I wish to explain this, that this divine ordinance is not a cross. Oh, no. We have this word respecting this, and other things too, of the spiritual nature and character. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of his power. The love of Christ makes willing, constrains, compels. There is a sweet compulsion in this. I realize that probably with some of the family of God, they may deter for a season, and that season may extend over a period of years wherein they are afraid to move. And sometimes, like all exercises, it ebbs and flows. It comes and goes. That is to say, there are times in particular when the person who is the subject of this is heavily burdened and pressed with it, and another time it subsides. Until the Lord's time comes. And that makes all the difference. When his time comes, then this exercise returns, and it remains until something is vitally accomplished. And this accomplishment is in accordance with the heavenly mind and will and decrees of God. Even the place has been appointed by the Lord. And how mysterious to us is divine providence. And yet, we would desire to appreciate this point of the sovereignty of the Lord made manifest, displayed in his divine providence. How he is pleased to lead a certain person or persons to a certain place where there is a certain water, and these persons begin to be attached unto the church, the people of God, in that particular spot and place. And you may feel like unto this, my soul shall pray for Zion still, as long as breath remains. There my best friends, my kindred dwell, there God, my Saviour, reigns. Now with that latter line that I have quoted, you may have to say that quickly. And I will explain to you what I mean. Perhaps you may be between hope and fear. But when the love of Christ is shed abroad in your hearts, then living faith, which has holy affections in it, appropriates that Christ as a favor to you. Now I feel that there is a beauty that is perceived in perceiving the ordinance being distributed. I do not know your order here, my friends. I have nothing to do with that, but in many causes of truth, there is an observance of the ordinance by the congregation. Now, there is gracious profit, I feel, to the congregation sometimes when they look upon the communicants at the communion. And I believe that it does produce this in their hearts. Wilt thou on me, as on thy children, look, and make my lot with theirs the same? And also, you see, or you perceive these people in Christ. There are moments when all their human frailties are covered over by love. Now, cannot some of you acquiesce that this is so with you? Perhaps some of you that are at present observant of the communion. Now, the time will come when you will not be driven, but you will be drawn. Drawn. Now I just wish to clarify this remark. It may be that some of you are holding back. That is to say, there's a stone that is over sepulchre. Now what is that stone? Many things may constitute your stone. I believe that with males who are vitally exercised about this ordinance, it is what comes afterwards with them that sometimes is as a stone. Their commitments in regard to their membership in public prayer and also who knows what this might lead to in regard to an office in the church. Now with some that is their stone. But the Lord in his tender mercy is pleased to remove that stone. I am not able to speak of everything that may be an impediment to you. Now I do feel this, not speaking in a detrimental way to the males, God forbid, but have we not instances in the Word of God regarding the godly women that waited around the tomb to see Christ rise? We know that when they came to that spot and place, Christ was risen. And they were talking between themselves as they went early to the sepulchre, "Who shall roll us away the stone?" And so the females have a stone. But may I, by the help of God, declare unto you this, whether you are a male or a female, who are vitally exercised about these solemn things, the Lord grant you strength and grace to venture, and you will find the stone removed. You will indeed. Venturing faith is the strongest faith. Now you may be the subject of some heavy exercises before you take the step. And may I name one or two? One may be this: shall I endure unto the end? Shall I prove to be likened even to Peter, who denied his Lord and Master? I know that that was one thing that exercised my heart, my friends, prior to my baptism. And it produced this within my breast: O Lord, preserve and keep me in thy holy fear. And if thou wilt be pleased to grant me that grace and strength to venture, I venture my all upon thee. Another stone which I feel one could speak of, and that is, they are very fearful. Yes, many of those deep exercised souls are very fearful. And those fears relate to many things. You are fearful in taking this step. Maybe you are the subject of many fears after you have spoken to the deacons or the pastor or whoever is the head of the church. And that fear, if it's analyzed, would prove to be the fear of men. Now I know a little of what I am speaking of here, my friends, because I walked in this after I had spoken to our late dear pastor in connection with this command. I felt that I could not take the step. I was so fearful. I looked upon the church, the members of the church, as holy people. I hope I saw them in Christ, and I felt to be so unfit, to be so unworthy of such a favour. And there seemed to be in my spirit a little drawing back. And I remember that I was on the point, as it were, of going to him and stating to him, I'm sorry, but I cannot proceed with this, when I hope the Lord spoke. And what did he say? Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that should die, and the son of man that should be made as grass? Now that alleviated my fears. Now I know, and I would sympathize with any soul that is the subject of fears, that the love of Christ, it casteth out all fear. For the love of Christ constraineth us, and strains us to move in the path of obedience. Now there's a beauty in this constraint, an excellency in it, which is commendable, and which has divine approbation upon. Now the approbation of the Lord is felt and realized where the love of Christ constrains one to follow him. And they are not only made willing to follow him through good report, but through evil report. Because the cross will be laid upon one to carry. You will learn of Christ by this method that the Lord may lead you in afterwards. Learn of him who is meek and lowly in heart. And he said, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now the love of Christ produces a measure of gracious contentedness. Contented with him, with your lot, with your station in life. Oh, I feel that we would love to be favored, to realize again and again the shedding abroad of the love of Christ. One says, oh, that it now were shed abroad in this poor stony heart. So often we feel and answer to that description, we have a stony heart. Oh, that love can be shed abroad. We want to feel it. Feel its sacred influence pervading. Now, with the love of Christ, there is permissible happiness. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And with the love of Christ, felt and realized, produces worship. Little of that inner court worship where you are favored for a few moments while that pervades, or longer, to be shut in with the Lord. When you lose sight of every material thing, including yourself, the love of Christ produces praise and thanksgiving when you feel a touch of it. When you realize what you have deserved, that is to be banished from his presence, and then his love is made manifest. Well, if it doesn't move the soul and the spirit and the feet, my friends, I do not know what works, but it does. The love of Christ constraineth us. Well, we believe that with the apostle and all the apostles, there were times in particular, as we have stated, they were constrained by the love of Christ, and suffering for Christ's sake did not deter them from going on in that work that was commissioned to them. And my friends, to every humble believer in Christ who follows him, they realize according to sacred writ, and they will be brought into it in some humble measure, that as they are a partaker of the consolations of the gospel, they also will be a partaker of the afflictions thereof. And these afflictions and tribulations, being sanctified, will stabilize these souls in the truth, and also the love of Christ felt in the heart. And while one is upon earth, it does give a sweet hope beyond the grave. The hope of a Christian is not this side of the grave only, my friends. It extends itself to the other side. Now, I do hope and trust that our dear esteemed sister, who is about to be baptized, may really feel the effects of the love of Christ in her soul, to feel a measure of that gospel peace and quietude. And as we attend now to the sacred ordinance, may I myself, with my dear sister here, realize that we are being constrained in the love of Christ. And then that will be approved by the Lord. Amen.